In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the holy and undivided Trinity, the one who calls us to fall fearlessly into love. Amen. A woman named Naomi Shihab Nye is the author of this true story I'm about to tell you. She was at the Albuquerque airport, and she had learned that her flight had been delayed for 4 hours, and she was kind of wandering around, as you do when you have time to spare. She heard an announcement over the loudspeaker asking anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 who understood Arabic to please come to the gate immediately. When Naomi arrived, she found an older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress. And this woman was very upset and could not understand what the flight agent was telling her about her flight. So the agent asked Naomi to explain to her that her flight had been delayed and not canceled. Naomi put her arm around the woman and spoke to her slowly in Arabic. The minute the woman heard any words she knew, she stopped crying. She indeed had thought that her flight had been canceled entirely, and she needed to be in El Paso for a major medical treatment the next day. Naomi said, "You'll get there, but you'll get there just a little bit late. And who is picking you up at the airport there?" And the woman said that her son was, and Naomi said, "Well, let's call him." So Naomi called her son and told him that she would stay with his mother until she got on the plane. So over the next 2 hours, they became great friends, talking about their lives and families and even laughing a lot. The woman found that she had friends in common with Naomi's dad. Then the woman pulled out a bag of homemade cookies and began passing them around to all the other travelers at the gate. No one turned her down. Naomi said, "It was like a sacrament. Travelers from all over who became covered in powdered sugar. And the airline even distributed free apple juice." Imagine that. "And two little girls on the same flight ran around giving it out to everyone." Naomi looked around the gate of late and weary travelers and thought, "This is the world that I want to live in, the shared world." Not a single person in that gate, once the confusion had stopped, seemed apprehensive about anybody else. They took the cookies, and I wanted to hug all those other people too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, these words are familiar to us from Scripture, and in our Rite One services, the celebrant says them right after the collect for purity. And we call them the summary of the law. These words were also familiar to the Pharisees who were trying to test Jesus with their question, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" You see, the Pharisees thought that each of the 613 laws were equally important. The 248 thou shalt do's and the 365 thou shalt not do's. And you can just imagine them not liking Jesus' answer to their question, because to them it was too simple and just not right. Jesus was actually quoting from the Torah, from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, so this should not have been a new thing for the Pharisees at all. The command to love God and your neighbor as yourself was as clear as anything. And the context in which this happens is that the various religious groups, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and others, have been asking Jesus a series of questions. They are trying to trap him into saying something controversial that could ultimately lead to his arrest and death. But Jesus always points to the main focus of the text: love for God and love for neighbor. The Pharisees were the legal experts of the law in Jesus' day, but sometimes they were so focused on the laws that they missed the people right in front of their noses. They missed the whole point, in fact. So how about us? Do we miss the point at times? Are we so caught up in our own rules and laws that we can't see others in need around us? Are we carrying around stuff in our hearts that clouds the way we look at others? Do we spend more time on Facebook than talking face to face with friends and family? And you know, when you go out to eat at a restaurant, how everybody is sitting at their tables on their cell phones. Have you ever noticed that? And there's not much conversation going on. And there is a term for this. I learned this week. It's called fubbing or phone snubbing. And I'm guilty of it too. It's tempting to use email and texting and those emojis rather than making a personal phone call or actually having a face-to-face conversation. However, this is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg of how we attempt to love our neighbors, or maybe not. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." From the beginning of creation, we are all created in God's image to take care of each other and to take care of creation. And this care and love is completely interwoven throughout scriptures. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. God told Abraham that he will be blessed so that he will be a blessing and all the families of the earth will be blessed through his offspring. And then, of course, Jesus raises the bar on this kind of love. He even includes our enemies in all this neighbor blessing and loving. We are to love them and pray for those who wish us harm. It's fine to have concern for others, and we do have concern. We pray for others in need, we send donations, we volunteer. But at times, there are those times when we actually have to be in some kind of a personal relationship with those who are poor or in need, those who are different, in order to turn the concern into action that leads to healing and hope. And personal relationships can allow us to have those conversations we so desperately need to have. And it's not just what happens in our time as we take care of each other and love them. We also have to think about the future. On Thursday, Dr. John Sr. from Wake Forest Divinity School talked to Faith and Justice, and he posed this question: how do we orient our actions to care for the human communities of the future, to expand our care and concern for natural ecologies? So this command to love is not just about we humans. I also believe that this neighbor category includes the creatures and the plants, the waters, and the earth itself. I was at a conference 2 weeks ago on Celtic spirituality and was reminded of how close and interconnected we are with all of creation and with the earth. The Celtic people felt intimately connected, and they saw God as closely involved in every bit of their daily lives. Jesus commands us to prioritize love of God and love of neighbor above anything else. But his idea of this kind of love is so broad, it's easy for us to fall short of the task when we give priority to things that draw us away from the attention that God and our neighbors need from us. It's not easy, and it can be overwhelming to us in the face of great need. We have a biblical and God-given imperative to help and to love the least and the lost and the left out. But sometimes it's the people closest to us that are hardest to love at times, right? And sometimes it is easier to write a check than to go work at a shelter. And sometimes it is easier to send a card than to pick up the phone or make a visit in person. And sometimes it's easier to throw away all that plastic that packaged your food than to recycle it. This story invites us to consider what this kind of love looks like and to act upon it. Someone once wrote that each activity of daily life in which we stretch ourselves on behalf of others is a prayer of action, to be a blessing to the world individually and as a community of faith, to put our cell phones and computers away and have real face-to-face relationships, even with those who are different from us, with those in great need, or with those whom we disagree. To recognize that our own failures to love are also our friends and families and even our enemies' failures to love, and that we all have the same failures and needs as everyone else. And we want to be loved in the same way that God loves us, in the same way that Jesus loves us. When he died on the cross for us, he forgave his enemies then, and he forgives us all still. When we try to, as theologian Teilhard de Chardin once said, harness the energy of love, it is a call to live even deeper into the ocean of God's kind of love. And it can at times cost us all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. When we love God and our neighbor totally, it costs us our biases and our fears, our anxieties and our walls, our revenges and our darkness, our hatred and our judgments, our pride and our arrogance. But in return, we are given the gifts of the kingdom, love and forgiveness, broken down walls and barriers, and peace and grace and mercy. And the good news is that God's love and grace are available to all unconditionally, just waiting to be liberated in our hearts and souls and spread abroad. God loves us first and gives us the capacity to love God and ourselves and our neighbors right back. And this kind of love is so wondrous and so amazing. This kind of love casts out fear. This kind of love allows us to help strangers at airports and pass out cookies. And this kind of love allows us to dive deep into the resources that God has already given us. This kind of love helps us orient ourselves to even be a blessing to human communities and to Earth in the future. This kind of love hopes all and endures all and never ends. So we receive this gift and pass it on. I'm going to end with a prayer that the House of Bishops wrote while on their recent trip to Alaska. Let us pray. Dear God, creator of the earth, this sacred home we share, give us new eyes to see the beauty all around and to protect the wonders of creation. Give us new arms to embrace the strangers among us and to know them as family. Give us new ears to hear and understand those who live off the land, and to hear and understand those who extract its resources. Give us new hearts to recognize the brokenness in our communities and to heal the wounds we have inflicted. Give us new hands to serve the earth and its people and to shape beloved community. For you are the one who seeks the lost, binds our wounds, and sets us free. And it is in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen.